and welcome to Share Truth, Apply Scripture. I am Jordan Chambly, and I am, as always, joined by my co-host, Cedra Sark.
It's still weird.
It's weird?
It's still weird hearing the word co-host and then followed by my name.
Yeah, no longer producer only, you are also co-host.
And the thing is this is, like, I've been doing this for a little while now, so this shouldn't feel so new, but it does. No. It still feels weird.
It's new every day.
Yeah, every day.
Well, if you're just tuning in for the first time to Share Truth, Apply Scripture, and you're unfamiliar with this, I just want to take a minute and just say who we are and what we're doing. I'm Jordan Chambly. I write for The Stand, which is both the blog at afr.net/The Stand. I also write for the monthly magazine that comes out every month, as you would expect. And it's also called The Stand. So that's where I come from in the AFA family. I'm in the writer section. Cedra is not in the writer's section.
I'm
what do
not.
You do here?
I am the marketing assistant.
Yeah.
So anything our marketing team needs, they need from me. They let me know, and I do it. That's basically what it is.
That's a great, straightforward.
I've been here for 12 years, and I have, you know, been all over the place. That seems like people don't like me, so they're like, move her to the next department, please.
Or you could see it that they like you, and they want to, you know, keep you around, and it's like, hey,
that's what we're going to go with. But I've enjoyed all the different stages, and I worked in radio for
many years.
Good 8 years, I don't know. And so, that's me.
That's perfect. And so what Share Truth, Apply Scripture is, it started as a, the heart of it is that we want to speak to younger Christians.
Yep.
And we define that very broadly. So, you know, usually that's from high school age to about mid-30s, and that mid-30s is going to get later and later as we get older.
So we're like older Gen Z, younger millennials.
Exactly, yeah. So we want to speak to issues that are important to that demographic, but of course these issues can be important to any, you know, Christian who is wanting to do that, to share truth and apply to Scripture in their own lives. And so that's the kind of issues we tackle. And what I think that this issue that we're talking about today, Cedra, you came up with the idea, and I thought it was really great, but it does really play into the demographic that we're trying to talk to, is the idea of reward. So,
well, we live in an instant society.
Yes.
Everything is instant.
If it's not, I'm mad.
Everything on demand TV, instant noodles.
Yes.
Fast food.
Right.
And we are at the point now where we just are not patient.
Right.
That's
absolutely true.
And I got to say, for this topic, I'm sure if you're looking at Christians in the past, they weren't patient either.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's just we live in a world where everything is
right now
this minute. I don't want to wait for anything, and that's probably made it worse.
Yeah, and coupled with that, we have the prevailing attitude out there of entitlement. And, you know, a lot of people say that's a young person thing. It's actually an everybody thing.
It is an everybody thing.
It's an everybody thing.
Because I've met entitled people of all ages.
Yes.
Toddlers, the most entitled.
Well, they might, yeah. I mean, they do literally depend on us to give them things to survive. So maybe they get a little bit of grace.
I'm just talking about, like, that toy they want right now.
Oh, yeah,
and
absolutely.
And if they ask for it,
if you don't give it to them, you're facing the wrath. But absolutely. So, like, the instant gratification culture coupled with, I deserve this, you know, because of who I am. Don't you know who I am? I deserve this thing that I want. That culture that we live in right now is directly in opposition to the biblical idea of the reward that is in store for believers.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're talking about here, the subject really is that our reward is not here on earth. You know, the Bible talks about this idea of a reward that we can look forward to as being something that we can expect in heaven or in eternity. And so that's really what we're talking about today. That's really difficult to wrap our minds around sometimes when we're just on our, you know, day-to-day life, when rubber meets the road. Believers can often have a hard time, you know, believing that. You know, believing that there isn't anything promised to me right now coming my way at this point in my life because of all of this good stuff that I've done.
Yeah.
You know,
and if you're singing songs about how great you are and all the good stuff you've done, then you're not as great as you thought.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you can point to, you
and
know.
And I've done it too.
Yeah.
I've had the prayers where I'm like, Lord, I do nice things. I work for a Christian ministry.
Yeah.
And I talk about you all the time. So, like, why is this thing happening to me?
Yeah. I've done A, B, and C. Why isn't D happening? You know, as if there's some sort of magical mathematical formula that God operates by. But when we look at the scriptures and we look at the people who believed that they were entitled to things, so I'm thinking particularly of in Jesus's days, the Pharisees. So the Pharisees were a very devout, very pious group of people. They were the conservative evangelical of their day, right? Like they were, if you were going to point to someone who was living biblically, you know, according to the standard of that time, you would have pointed to the Pharisee. They knew their stuff. They knew their scripture. They would even take it a step or more further and add rules to it so that they were in no way, in no danger of breaking the Mosaic law. They were that particular. But
in the same way, I think a lot of you talking about, you know, a lot of the evangelicals of today have, I feel like they have strayed from the teachings of Christ, and we know that, and that is, I mean, that of course is every denomination, every you know, so we strayed and started looking at ourselves,
right?
A lot of the times, and started adding to what we think, you know, God meant, and that, you know, in this church, like if you do this, then that's sinful, and it's like, how is that, you know? And then this other church is like, but all these things are, and.
Yeah, and you, when you look at what the kind of things, I feel like there's two groups of people, right? And they kind of all are doing the same thing, but they're doing it in different ways. There's one group of people who you might have heard of the prosperity gospel and things along those lines, where the reward that they're looking for being Christians, for being on God's team, the reward that they're looking for is a very temporal thing. It's money. It's recognition. Yeah. It's an easy lifestyle. It's just being hashtag blessed.
And that is not what we were promised at all.
And that is not what we were promised at all. And
we were promised hardships in Scripture. That
absolutely.
As believers, there would be hardships.
Absolutely. And it can look really good sometimes. I mean, it can even be something like, you know, I'm a Christian, you know, I'm living my life. I'm going to church. I'm spreading the gospel. Why isn't my society around me bending to my will? You know, why are my preferences not winning out? Why does it feel like the power of God is not behind the things that I'm doing? And then you have, like, I mean, those are the more external stuff that happens, you know, the more temporal external rewards that people look for. But then you have, there's another side where it even looks better, right? So you have a church that is really intentional about being faithful to the scriptures, and really, like, we're not going to compromise. We're not going to do the things that these churches that are falling away are doing. We're going to stick to the gospel. We're going to stick to what the word of God says. We're going to call sin, sin. We're going to stand against cultural wickedness. And now, God, why isn't our church being blessed? Or why do we see, you know, people falling away even in our own church? Why are these young people not coming to Christ?
The simplest answer that I can give to people, and you may not like it and you may not accept it and it may not be good enough for you, is that we live in a sinful, fallen world. And nothing about it is ever going to be perfect during our time here on earth.
Yeah.
You know, one day things will be different. We'll be called to glory.
Yeah.
And you know, but here in the time that we're living, there's never going to be a perfect anything.
Our expectation for now should be hardship.
Good things are going to come, bad things are going to come.
Right.
And that, you know, and then it's hard because you watch a lot of people that you know are living in sin, and then they got all these things that you consider good. But that also makes me wonder, do you understand what is actually good for you?
Yeah. You know, the book of Ecclesiastes, no, is it Ecclesiastes? Is it Yes, it is Ecclesiastes, I believe. It's either Ecclesiastes or Lamentations. I'm getting my books of the Bible mixed up, which is not good. I'm sorry. But the writer of the book is basically like, I look around me and I see all of these people who are living sinful lives that are displeasing to God, but yet they have all this stuff.
Yeah.
And how is this right? How is this just? Why am I not in their position? Why are they prospering while I am not prospering? And then essentially, like, God puts his mind right and is like, look, they're withering away. You see what's coming for them.
And it makes you, like looking at our little list here of things that people want, money.
Mm-hmm.
Money is not evil or bad.
No, it's
money
good.
Is just money.
Yeah.
And you need money to buy food and do whatever you need to do. You need money. Mm-hmm. But to become obsessed with it and to love it over people and over God, that's where the sin part comes in.
Yeah.
And but money, getting money and getting wealthy, is that really, like, such a wonderful thing? Don't get me wrong. There are days where I'm like, I would love to just have a money to go buy me a new car or do this or do that.
Right.
But is that really what's good for my spiritual being? You know, so that's, a lot of us are looking for the physical, for our physical body, what we think is good.
Mm-hmm.
But even good things could lead to a decay in your spiritual side.
Right. And the Bible does say that, you know, God, you know, cares for the sparrows, he cares for the flowers of the field. Of course he's going to care for his children. And so, like, and that even includes, you know, what the Lord's Prayer calls our daily bread. I mean, we're instructed to pray, God, please meet my physical needs as I need them. But those are physical needs, and God's going to meet them as we need them because he is a kind father. He's not the kind of father who's going to, you know, have that tough love to his kids where he's going to, like, well, I'm going to starve you for a little while. And, you know, no, he's kind and he wants to take care of us. But those things aren't rewards. You know, those things are not, those things don't happen. We're not given our daily bread because of something good that we've done. That's not how God operates. And so when we think about rewards, you know, money, fame, you know, prosperity, that kind of thing is not tied to, you know, all the good things that we've done. But what the Bible actually speaks of that are rewards for Christians. Well, first of all, we might think, oh, salvation, eternal life, those are rewards for Christians. Well, actually, those are not rewards for Christians. Those are rewards for Jesus. Jesus is the one who earned those things on our behalf.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't look to eternal life as being, oh, that's the thing that I earned because I did all the good stuff. So eternal life is not the reward, but there are things that the
Bible—
It's
a gift.
It is a gift.
It's a gift.
It's exactly.
It's not a reward as, you know—
Exactly.
Something that you've worked for.
Yeah.
And
yeah. But the Bible does say that there are things that we can expect that are more tied to how we live in this life. We look at the parable of the servants and the talents, right? And everybody's familiar with this parable where there were three servants and the master went away for a while and he gave these servants money to invest in some way to increase this amount of money that he gave them. And you had the two servants who really did a good job and they invested, they made the money work and it grew. But then you had the one servant who buried it in the field because he was scared of the master. Well, the master came back.
Scared of losing it.
Yeah. He just mismanaged it. And the master came back and the two servants who did a good job were rewarded in proportion to the good work that they did, while the servant who squandered the gift, you know, was thrown out. And so there is a principle there. You know, I would never tie this to salvation and eternal life, but there is a principle there that we can say, okay, there is this idea of a reward that is tied to how we live. But that is
obviously
something,
we are in no way saying that you can earn your way into
absolutely
heaven.
Absolutely not. Yeah.
And if you could earn your way into heaven, there wouldn't have been, Jesus wouldn't have had to die the
way
he did.
Exactly.
We can't do that. That's why he came, because we are incapable.
Yeah, exactly.
No matter what kind of quote unquote good life you live here.
Yeah.
On earth.
Yeah, exactly. So that would not be something that we're saying. But there is that idea. And so But again, these rewards that are tied to our obedience or whatever, you know, or the way we live and our faithfulness, those are kind of shrouded in mystery. The Bible never explicitly says what those rewards mm-hmm. are. There are symbols used to represent what these are, so like crowns, dominion, rulership even. There are these ideas in the Bible that lead us to believe that there will be a reward given to believers based on how they lived. But again, this is after, of course, eternal life has been granted to them as a gift that they mm-hmm. did not earn themselves. I mean, that's core to Christianity. So the rewards that we can expect in our lives, are actually reserved for eternity and not promised to us right now, those special kinds of rewards.
Yeah. That's not to say nothing good is going to happen to you.
Right.
I mean, the good things, I mean, I just know that I'm blessed every day. And I got up this morning.
Yeah.
Felt good. Got to come into work.
To
a place that I really enjoy coming to. To be surrounded. I've made, I don't know how many friends here at work. I really enjoy, it's just overall.
Yeah.
I guess, it is a family here.
Yeah.
And so I feel that blessing.
Mm.
And I don't know. I haven't earned that.
Mm-hmm.
God has blessed me with that. But so good things can happen.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. You got up this morning
mm-hmm.
to a wife and
yes.
three kids and
yes.
felt blessed.
Yeah, well, I need to feel blessed every morning. Sometimes it's a rude awakening when you have three kids.
Especially three young children.
Three young children. Sometimes you don't feel so blessed when you first wake up,
and
but
I understand,
eventually
even
you
though
do.
I don't
yes.
have kids. I don't have kids. I don't
right.
have kids of my own, but I did have to live with my sister and my brother-in-law for a time in between my
yes.
apartment and the house I'm in while the house was being worked on. Mm-hmm. And my roommate was my little nephew, who is now four, but he was still mm-hmm. three at the time. And I'd wake up every morning to Cece,
mm-hmm.
Cece, will you put on Toto Melon? And I'm like, I will scrap with the creators of the show today.
Because
exactly. before 4 a.m., he'd be waking me up to go put on a show. And
oh,
I'm like,
goodness gracious.
Lay back down.
Yeah, have you any clue as to what time this is right now?
And I guess I'm not feeling too soon. I'm like, I'm not thinking about how blessed I am.
Right, right,
moment.
Right. But then you do quickly realize.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
but then
wait,
he crawls
yeah, this
up.
Is...
He'll crawl up and he mm-hmm. he would tuck himself in beside me
yes.
and I'd just be like, okay.
Yeah.
I get it now.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. There's a flip side of this that I think people can struggle with. Not so much, why isn't God rewarding me in the way that I want to be rewarded right now? But there are a lot of Christians and believers out there who are, their lives are really difficult in ways that, honestly, I could never imagine. And they're going through things that are very, very difficult and challenging. And they might be tempted, as you wrote in our notes right here, they might be tempted to think that their suffering is because God has abandoned them or does not mm-hmm. love them anymore. And I think that when you look at examples in the Bible, I'm thinking Job.
Oh, yeah.
Job,
I think we all go to Job for that.
Yeah.
The fact that Satan threw everything at him. Everything.
Yeah.
He lost everything.
Right.
Possessions.
Right.
His family.
Yes.
And, there came a time when his wife was like, well, curse God and die. He, asked, why don't
bad.
You curse?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, and I think a lot of us would be at that point. We would have been ready for that long before Job, and Job refused to do that. He still had faith in whatever God had planned for him, even in the midst of all of that.
Well, even Job, even though he held fast in his trust in God, he expressed dismay. Like he was confused, and he even told his friends who were like, "Well, you must have done something to deserve this." God doesn't just deal out this kind of thing to you if you don't deserve it. Which, of course, they had their ideas mixed up. But Job said to them, he's like, "I haven't done anything. I've been living righteously. I haven't done anything to deserve God pouring out this this judgment on me. Like, I've kept my ways
clean. That's why Job was chosen for this.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And so even Job, while he was holding on to his trust in God, he did express he didn't know why this was going on.
Yeah.
And of course, God, you know, dealt with those doubts in a very glorious way, which, I mean, just go read the book of Job. It's an amazing book to read. Even if you've read it, go back and read it.
That's your homework.
That's your homework. Absolutely. So, but the Christians can go through these times where there's a lot of hardship in their lives, and they can have those doubts. So why do we know? How do we know that that kind of suffering is not because God has abandoned or doesn't love us anymore? Well, I think we need to look at Jesus. The Bible describes Jesus as the man of sorrows. Would we say that God did not love his own son?
No, not at all. I mean, you look at it, you look through, there's so many things throughout Jesus's time on earth. The fact it states that there was no place for him to lay his head and things like that. Does that sound particularly like a blessing?
Yeah.
That he didn't have a home or anything like that, or, you know, and then he... And then to be the ultimate one is being put on the cross.
Right.
And that wasn't, I mean, before that he was beat beyond recognition and then nailed to the cross. And you think about, like, you really go in depth and you think about it, the way he would have to sink down and push himself up on those nails going through to get a breath of air. And you know, you're not going to say that God did not love Jesus.
Right.
But he loved us also. And that's why he sent him.
Exactly. Yeah. And so whatever suffering that we're going through in this life, it does not compare to the suffering that Jesus Christ himself went through.
We can go back to the scripture that I think is the first scripture that most of us learn in church. And it was our founder of AFA, Brother Don. It was his favorite scripture, and that was John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son.
Yeah.
I mean, it's right there. It's in the scriptures. God, you know, God has, of course, been angry with us, rightfully so, because we sin against him all the time. But he still loved us enough to send his son so that we may be joined back with him in eternity.
Yeah.
There's the reward.
Yeah, exactly. No, exactly.
I mean, or the gift.
Yes, it is the gift. It is the thing that you can look forward to. If you're going through suffering, and look, I never want to discount someone's suffering. Like, it is valid to feel, you know, hurt over suffering. But I know for a fact that the grace of God is sufficient for that suffering, because it is infinite, you know, it is infinite.
And I think one of the biggest mistakes we make during these times of suffering is that's when we don't talk to God. We want to talk to God when things are great and wonderful.
Yeah.
And we spend our times praying when things are going well. But when things are going south and we don't, you know, and you seem to be not feeling connected to God at that moment.
Yeah.
And something... you know, you've lost someone you love, or you're just going through some sort of difficult time. I think about these Christians that I see in the news all the time that are being, you know, sued simply for trying to stand up for God, you know, for what they believe to be right and true. And they go through all of these things, and that can be a time when people do not spend time talking to God. And that is when you absolutely need to be talking to God. That's when you need to be in the Word the most, is when you are having these struggles and these doubts.
Yeah. I mean, again, follow the example of Jesus. Before he was arrested, he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he was praying. And, I mean, that's probably the, aside from maybe the Lord's Supper, or the Lord's Prayer, that's probably the most widely known prayer of Jesus in the Bible, because he was in the garden praying. He asked his disciples to stand and pray with him, but they fell asleep. And he was praying, and he was asking God, he was dealing with his own very human realization of what was going to happen. If you want to see the humanity of Jesus in full display, look at him in the garden, and he was wrestling with some very, very deep sorrow and anguish there, not just over the sin of the world, but let's not discount that he knew what was happening, what was going to happen. And it wasn't just the cross. It was the wrath of God that was going to be poured out on him. The cross, as horrible as the physical pain was not the thing. It was the wrath of God being poured out on him and God in turning his back on his son.
Yeah.
And so he knew this was going to happen, and he didn't have, you know, we think, oh, he was God. He had this supernatural ability just to be tough and grit his teeth and get through it. He is a man.
He did it fully as a man.
He is a man, and he felt that, and he obeyed perfectly and without sin. But he did pray to God, if it is possible, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. But if it's not your will, then your will be done. So. That was real.
In going through this, mm-hmm. in the midst of all of it, mm-hmm. Jesus didn't have to do that. Mm-hmm. And he did it anyway.
Yeah.
I think most of us would have called on the angels to come take us out of there.
Yeah.
If we had the ability.
Said that he could do that.
But he did not.
Yeah.
He endured the cross. He endured the sin of the world.
Right.
Being poor. You know, he did that. He knew what was going to happen, and he came anyway.
Absolutely, absolutely. So when we look at our lives and we don't think we are being treated fairly because we're such good, upstanding people, or that there is too much sorrow in our lives because we're good, upstanding people, it's good to go to the scriptures for that reality check and say, look, God's priorities are not our priorities, and we need to realign ourselves with an eternal mindset, the one that God has for us, and that we can enjoy his grace today in things that maybe we don't. That's not on our wish list, to wake up and just not be sick, or to wake up and have a loving family, or to wake up and just have oxygen to breathe. But those are gifts from God, and we can enjoy those now. And as believers, we can look forward to a time where we are resurrected in glory and enjoy God's gifts for all of eternity. So that's where our mind needs to be. Well, thanks guys so much for listening. And until next week, continue to share truth and apply scripture.